Romans chapter 12. And verse 2. Please read it with me. Hallelujah. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be what? Now, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we see that the mind is everything, isn't it? Now, in the Hebrew language, there is no such word as mind. It's known as spirit. Okay? But I want to share something with you, because we've been talking about being like-minded. And I was looking for something. I was saying, Lord, what do you want to do? He says, we don't want like-minded. So we're going to continue. It's going to be like-minded too, I guess. But we're going to talk about being like-minded, because it's very, very important as a believer that we become like-minded with Christ. And everything that we do, and every decision, everything, every motive, every desire, everything must be like-minded according to Christ. That's what makes us Christ-like. In fact, that's where the word Christian comes from, right? To be Christ-like, to be like-minded with Jesus. Amen? That's why he was manifested. It says, don't be conformed to the world. In other words, don't go back in the conforming ways of the world. Don't go back, but go forward, that the mind of Christ may be manifested in you, that you may become like-minded, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, we know that our mind can't be renewed, can it? Amen? So we know that the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. So what he's talking about is relationship then, isn't he? So we've got to have a relationship with the mind of Christ. Do you understand that? So that you and I can be like-minded. If everybody's relationship was up to par, we'd all be like-minded. It'd be real simple. But not everybody is. Does everybody understand that? But what we have, we can attain and go forward with. Did you ever tell somebody what to do, or they said, you know, you're working on a project or something, and you share with them, this is what I want done? And they're going, yeah. And they go and do it. It wasn't even near what it was. Oh. You know why? Not like-minded. Does everybody understand that? And how do you get like-minded? It must be practiced. It must be put into action. It must be practiced. Nobody becomes like-minded overnight, do they? Well, I can't say that that can't happen, but it can. Hallelujah. Turn to Matthew 11. So this will be like-minded too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Becoming like-minded. In Matthew 11. Glory to God. In verse 27. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27, read it with me. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Ooh. Who reveals the Father? The Son. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In other words, become like-minded with me. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let me share something with you. As you become more and more like-minded with Christ, one of the things that you will find is peace no matter what you're going through. You will find rest. There will not be turmoil. There will not be anxiety. There will not be stress. There will not be fear. You will find total peace. The more and more you become like-minded with Christ, the more and more the world begins to melt away. The more and more the things of the world, the more and more... The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want or lack. You will know, you'll have a place and position that you won't lack anything. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, and no matter what you feel, you'll not be moved by those circumstances. As the more and more you become like-minded, now you become like-minded by having to go through trials and tribulations. Having to go through. How else are you going to become like-minded with Christ without going through them? That's why he says, listen, take my yoke upon you. Come on, become like-minded with me. Learn from me. I'm going to teach you how to walk the way I walk, how to think the way I think. I'm going to give you my ethics. I want to express myself. I want to impress myself in you so that you can express me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I never saw Jesus tormented or going through turmoil or stressed out in anything. Didn't ever read about it. In fact, I never saw him in that way at all. The closest I ever saw him in that arena was in the garden. Amen? When he was sweating bullets. Sweating blood. Hello? He was sweating blood, wasn't he? Why? Because of that fight that he was going. Why? Because he was fighting, being like-minded with his Father. It's powerful because if you really think about it, what did he always say? He said, it's not my doctrine. It's the Father's who sent me. Everything was related to his Father and everything that he did. Why? Because he was like-minded. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So he reveals the Father. Everything is revealed by his Holy Spirit, isn't it? Everything is brought forth by his Holy Spirit. He said, take my yoke upon you. Become like-minded. Amen? Take my character. Take my ethics. Take my values. Learn my thoughts. Become like-minded with me, he says. Amen? Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Oh, hallelujah. Become like-minded. You know, you can think about what your actions have been in the last 2 hours. How was your response to certain things? Was it like-minded? Come on, didn't you have a fight before you got here? If you didn't, something wasn't right. Come on, didn't it tell you? Devil tell you? Come on, you're a little too tired. I never heard Jesus saying, I'm too tired. Then he tell you, man, you know, you just don't. The first thing he begins to do is cause you. He says, come on, don't you feel? Do you feel all right? Are you all right? He starts questioning you. Don't you sense a cold coming or something? Maybe you should just stay home. Come on, he tries to hit you with everything he can. Why? He's trying to move you out of the position of being like-minded. Amen? And weather didn't stop Jesus from going. When it stormed, he just walked on the water. Nothing ever stopped him from doing the will of God. Nothing. Why? Because he was like-minded. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Is everybody there? But as it is written, eye has not seen nor heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. Where? The heart of man. You think God wants you to have his heart? Before you can have his heart, you must be like-minded. They all connect together, don't they? Nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the what? Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, which is what? The spirit of what? Antichrist. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So that means that you have a choice. God is never going to force you to want to know his ways, to want to know his thoughts. Remember, he says, my ways are much higher than yours. My thoughts are much higher than yours, but I'm telling you, he came down from earth, from heaven to earth, so that we may know his thoughts. What's in the Bible is only a part of his thoughts. But it's written about his thoughts, isn't it? That we may become like-minded. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the carnal man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Do you ever have things seem foolishness to you? It just doesn't make sense, carnally. Amen? Why is God doing... You know, I ask God and I still don't get it. Why me? Why aren't I the one that's out there starving? Why aren't I the one that doesn't have any legs? Why? Why am I the one that's not blind? Why? Why am I the one that lived after overdosing 20 or 30 times or how many it was? Why did I still live? And why are there others that I know that died? You know what? That puts a tremendous responsibility on us that we're not one of them. It causes us to have to be like-minded. It causes us. Why aren't I the one that's doing life in prison when they tried to keep me in prison for life? Why did you let me out? Why? I'm not looking at the things that has happened bad in me. I'm looking at the things that has happened good in me. Why? I won't know till I get home. Because He's the sovereign God. He chooses who He wants to do. He does what He wants to. But do you ever ask yourself why? Those are just some things that you're not going to know. But you know what we do know is as we become like-minded, we can maintain these things. Amen? We can maintain these things right now that we can't figure out why we have what we have and why we're so blessed and why the other ones are not. Why do we know the truth and people don't? Why do we walk in freedom and others bound? But we can maintain all of these things by being like-minded with Christ. And be grateful. And be grateful that He's chose every one of you. Oh, hallelujah. But the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Oh, let me share something with you, very important. Just because you're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you're like-minded. Hello. You can pray in tongues and everything. It does not mean you're like-minded. Like-minded is practice. Like-minded. Do you understand it? It takes practice, doesn't it? It takes trials. It takes teaching. It must be learned. Jesus said, take my yoke upon and learn from me. What? Well, how are you going to learn from him? What's the first thing that happened to Jesus? He went in the wilderness and got tested. Amen? It says that he grew in wisdom. He grew in knowledge. He grew in favor. He grew, didn't he? He grew. It takes maturing to become like-minded. Nobody can ever reach the maximum of like-mindedness. Do you understand that? Nobody can. Only Jesus was the only one that could be like-minded to that degree. But we do have levels of where you and I as believers can become like-minded, to where we even can become like-minded with one another if we're truly led by the Spirit of God. Amen. But never be misled or mistaken that just because you have the mind of Christ that you're like-minded. Because it takes a yielding individual to yield to the mind of Christ on a continuous basis to be like-minded. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Acts 15. Acts chapter 15, please. In verses 28 and 29. All to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 28, would you read it with me? For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to who? And us. Say it again. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. Ah, were they like-minded? Amen. They were co-laboring with one another, weren't they? It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. Like we had a part to do with something. Amen? Well, that's what he's saying. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. See, things just are not done by God. They're done by me and you. God using man. And how they're done is either going to reflect being like-minded or being carnal-minded. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit in us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will what? Do well. Was he not expressing the mind of Christ? It seemed good to the Holy Spirit in us. In other words, they were expressing this, weren't they? They were agreeing. They had communion with the Holy Spirit. They had communion with the mind of Christ. What were they doing? They were learning to be like-minded. Do you understand that? You know, if you step back today and think about, man, you know what? What did I learn today to be like-minded with Christ? What was a circumstance or something that came across my path that I wanted, that the Lord was trying to make me in it or put into practice for me to be like-minded with Him? What did He say to you that you missed, that you know you should have done? Oh, man. I should have done. I knew that was you, Lord. I'm sorry. But see, there's going to be a time when He doesn't want to have to speak to you. He's expecting you. Amen? So many times people are waiting for an answer when you're not going to get an answer. You know why? Because He's expecting you. Amen? When two people come close together and they know, they begin to be like-minded with an individual, don't they? In ministry. Even in ministry, we want to be like-minded with someone. We shouldn't have to always have to go tell someone. We want to be able to see that there's an expression of becoming like-minded. Why? Because Paul said, imitate me because I imitate the Lord, right? And wasn't he talking about Timothy and Titus? He said, I only got a couple that are like-minded like me. He said, but the rest of them are all not quite like-minded. They're boneheads, that's what they're. Hallelujah. No, they're still learning, aren't they? Amen? So our desire must become that at arena where we become like-minded in everything, in decisions, in everything that we do. Would you turn to Isaiah 11? Isaiah 11. Oh, hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit. In other words, like-minded with what? His wisdom and His understanding, His counsel. The Bible says that you have the anointing and no man need to teach you. Why? Because the anointing represents like-mindedness. The problem is we need to learn it, don't we? We need to learn how to yield. We need to learn how to die. We need to learn how to submit. These are all associated with the mind of Christ, that you and I become like-minded. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Simple, quick teaching tonight to confirm and seal off like-mindedness. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. God said, let us make man in our what? Image and according to our likeness. According to our what? Likeness, like-mindedness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. So you got to understand, like-mindedness with Christ is authority. Does everybody understand? It's authority. It's dominion. You don't run when a mouse comes in the room. like an elephant. That's not like-mindedness. You have dominion over the land, air, and sea. That means the spirit realm, the natural realm. Oh, hallelujah. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over everything of the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. So we know that Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, correct? Now let me show you something here, because this is powerful. So they know that Adam and Eve were eternal beings, weren't they? Did they have the mind of Christ? You betcha. They had the mind of Christ. But you know what? Where did God place them? He didn't let them have rule over everything yet, did he? He started to train them where? In the garden. Why? Because he wanted to have them, he wanted to teach them to become what? Like-minded. Does everybody understand that? He placed, what did he do? Look at Genesis 2 and verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. To what? To tend and to keep it. In other words, he was training him, wasn't he? He was there to keep it. How was he going to train him? Well, he had to put something in action, didn't he? He was going to start telling, he was going to start teaching Adam what to do, didn't he? Amen? He was going to start training him for authority. To become like-minded. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall die. And the Lord God said to it is not good that man should be alone, and I'll make him a help or comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to who? He brought them to Adam, and to see what he would what? Call them. What was he doing? He was teaching them, wasn't he? He wanted to see what he would call them. He was preparing to become like-minded. Does everybody understand that? And Adam called every living creature that what it was named. So Adam gave the names to all the cattle and to the birds of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. Hallelujah. So what did the Lord do? He created Adam and Eve with the mind of Christ. He put them in the garden to become like-minded, to put into practice. He had to learn. Remember, just because you have the Holy Spirit does not mean that you are like-minded. Amen? You must learn to become like-minded. That's what we're being trained for. Does everybody understand it? Oh, hallelujah. Romans 8. Glory. So was Adam and Eve anointed? Amen. Were they like-minded yet? No. Oh, to God be the glory. Are you becoming more like-minded? Amen. You're learning. We're all learning, aren't we? Thank God we're still learning. Nobody's made it yet. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Would you read it with me? For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So you were predestined to become like-minded. Do you understand that? All of creation, all mankind is predestined to become like-minded with Christ. Whether they choose to or not is up to them. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Have you been called? Amen. Amen. Whom he called, these he also justified. Have you been justified? Oh, hallelujah. And whom he justified, he also what? How is he going to be, how is glorification going to come without like-mindedness? It won't. How are we going to exalt the Lord without becoming like-mindedness? Amen? It won't. So everything that you're going through right now is nothing but a preparation to become what? Like-minded. Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 18. Second Corinthians 3:18. Let's read it together. But we all, say it again, but we, one more time, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, you're going from glory to glory. How are you going from glory to glory? From trial to trial. You're changing. You're groaning. Why? Because you want to become like-minded more and more. So, hallelujah. All things are possible. So there is a constant change. With a constant change, there must be a constant willing desire. Amen? With a constant change, there must be a constant willing desire. Go to 1 John 3. Oh, praise God. Is everybody okay? First begins with a desire, right? You can't go, that's it, I quit, I don't want to be like-minded no more. You can't run from your garbage. You must allow God to expose it so it can become, it can remove, and then Christ can take over. Amen? We want to become like-minded. See, the more that we become like-minded with Him is the more that we become like-minded with one another. Come on, did you ever go somewhere and somebody's claimed to be a believer for 30 years? And when you first meet them, everything's cool. Hey, yeah, cool. Praise God, praise in the Spirit, does all kinds of stuff. All of a sudden, they pull out a pack of cigarettes. They're talking how free they are. All of a sudden, you get in the car with them and there's a pornography book in the car. There's dip in the winch in the dashboard. There's lottery tickets all over the place. Then they turn on the music. And they're really exposed. And you wonder, wait a minute. Where's the like-mindedness with Christ? See, you'll know them by their fruit, won't you? You'll know what they speak. You'll know their actions and attitudes. And let me share something with you. It doesn't matter whether they're 30 years with the Lord or 1 year with the Lord. It depends on how much you're willing to yield and surrender to God. How much you're willing to cast your cares and quit trying to fix everything. It matters whether you're truly trusting Him or trusting you. How much you're willing to do the measure that you're willing to do these things is the measure you'll become more like-minded. One of the things that we have to do is take instruction, correction, rebuke, chastening. We've got to be willing to receive them and not be offended by them. That's how we change. Well, how's he going to... Listen, you're not going to expose yourself all the time. Why? Because Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. So what you can't see, someone else can. Amen? Amen. Man, I don't... But you know what? There's times when you see it, but we have a tendency to ignore it. We have a tendency... Oh, we just stuff it underneath the rug. Oh, that can't be me. No. Oh, you know. We start floating down the aisle, right? God allows exposure because He's exposing the carnal arena, the strongholds, the deceptions, so that the mind of Christ, so that we become like-minded. Why? So we can have that wisdom and knowledge and understanding from Him, no longer our own. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3. I'll do verses 1 and 2. Something like that. 1 John chapter, what did I say? 3? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Like Father, like children. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. So many people want to be known by the world. They want to be exalted by man. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. David wrote in one of the Psalms, he says, he was waiting for that moment, because he knew no matter what was going on, whatever, he said, you know what, there's one thing powerful. He said, when I awake, I'm going to awake in Your image and likeness. In other words, when he dies, he knows that he's going to awake in His likeness. Amen? Constant change must be a constant willing desire. We shall be like Him, like-minded. Fulfillment. That's the final, isn't it? Isn't everybody's fulfillment. The final destiny is to be in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal. That's what we're thriving for right now, is to become like-minded with Him. That's why we groan and we struggle, because we want to be more clothed with His glory. Because we want to become more like-minded. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Would you read it with me? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. Wow. Now think about that. That the divine power has been given to me and you, that all things that pertain to this life on the earth. That's why we should be lacking nothing. The problem is that we've fallen short of becoming like-minded. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the what? Divine nature. Let me share something with you. It's so important to have the like-mindedness. What like-mindedness is, shakes hand with God's divine nature. That we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. So like-mindedness will manifest God's divine nature in me and you. Isn't that what His purpose is? Isn't that what His desire is? Remember, He said it's His desire to give us the kingdom of God. So where we're lacking, these are things what God is exposing. Where we're lacking in those areas that we're not making decisions or doing things according to what His desires are, or what His thoughts are, or His ways, is what He's exposing right now. Let me share something with you. There is a tremendous shaking in the body of Christ. There has been, and there's going to be more. Because time is running out. He's trying to prepare His children to become like-minded so that He can send them. And does everybody understand that? So that He can send us. No matter where, you are being, when you leave this room tonight, you're being sent. Somebody needs to know the thoughts of God. And only you can give it. Oh, hallelujah. Remember, His desire is to impress in us so that we can express Him. Expressing His character, expressing His thoughts, expressing His love. Romans 15. Praise God. Romans 15. Verses 1 through 6. Everybody there? Let's read it together. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please Himself. Would you read that one more time? Even Christ did not please Himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. And whatever things were written before were written for our what? They were written for our learning. Why? So that we become like-minded. That we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of all patience and comfort grant you to be what? Like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. That we may be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. So first of all, we must be like-minded with Christ so we can be like-minded with one another according to Christ. That you may with one mind and one what? Oh. One mind and one mouth. Hallelujah. Glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. That we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. In other words, do not please self. We're not self-pleasers. We're God-pleasers. That means that you and I must deny ourselves. Amen? We must deny ourselves. We must become one mind and one mouth. As a man thinketh, so he speaketh. Hello? We know that the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. So as you and I become Christ-minded, like-minded with Him, we begin to speak those things. We begin to speak the thoughts and the oracles of the Lord with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Things begin to change. We're not conformed to the ways of the world. We no longer speak according to the way of the world, even though that we're in the world. But we yield to the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit, so Christ can express Himself through us that we may become like-minded and others may see the mind of Christ in you. The Bible says that you and I are the walking, living epistle. Now, think about today if there was an opportunity to express Christ. I'm not just talking about you need Jesus. Anybody can give a track out. Even a heathen can. Even a heathen can lead somebody to Jesus Christ. There's many of them out there doing it. But to be like-minded with Him is relationship. To be like-minded with Him is taking the divine nature. It's different. It's totally different. Remember, you can have the Holy Spirit and still not be like-minded. It takes practice and learning. It takes trials. Every day, the Lord is trying to bring me and you through something so that we become like-minded. Amen? no matter what it is. Go to Revelation 12. Please turn the table. Oh, to Revelation chapter 12. Is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. In verse 11, would you read it with me? And they overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Were they Christ-like-minded? You betcha. I mean, you can learn a lot right off of this one little verse. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word, their mouth, right, of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives to the death. In other words, they didn't have a life. Their life was Christ. Their whole purpose was to become like-minded. Everybody with me? They did not love their life, Christ-like. Oh, so what's the opposite of Christ-like? Antichrist-like. So either we're Christ-like or antichrist-like. There are some things that will assist us in this like-mindedness. There are things that there must be an exchange. We must exchange our personal expectations of others and put in His expectations that we may be Christ-like, like-minded. We must replace our bitterness, offensiveness, and anger with His love. We must replace disobedience and rebellion with obedience. The Bible says that He was obedient unto death. We must replace our heart with the heart of God, the heart of Christ. The Bible says that David was a man after God's heart. David was a very wise man. And what David did was able to be passed on to his son. He knew his limitations. We must know our limitations. Does everybody understand that? David knew when it was time. What did he do? He gathered all the stuff together for the temple to be built, didn't he? He knew that he couldn't do it. He wasn't authorized to do it. God didn't let him. So in that, he did not become selfish and say, okay, if that's the way it is, because he had the heart of God. He was like-minded in certain areas. So what did he do? He prepared everything for his son, Solomon, to build the temple. Because he wanted to continue to expand it, didn't he? Because the whole purpose of me and you is to expand the kingdom of God. We must remove our short-sightedness and be able to see things through to the end results. Jesus saw things through all the way. He was not short-sighted. He saw it all the way. He knew what the end result was going to be. You can only do that by being like-minded. We must not become men-pleasers, but God-pleasers. And I don't mean to utilize that as a manipulative or an excusable arena, saying and removing individuals from underneath authority, like oneself. Many people say, well, I'm pleasing God, when they can't even submit to authority. That's just an excuse. I don't want to be a man pleaser. I want to be a God pleaser. When they can't even, they don't even understand that God put them under the authority of someone, so they better submit to them because that's being a God pleaser. Amen? So people use it as an excuse. They use it as an excuse for not submitting to authority. There's a difference between a God pleaser and a man pleaser. We must exchange those things. Amen? We must remove the deception of lying and exaggeration, but be a covenant keeper. To be like-minded with Christ is to be a covenant keeper. Is everybody with me? Vows that you've made, and they must be completed. Turn to Judges 7. Do I need to repeat these? Get the tape. Judges 7. I changed my mind. Judges chapter 7. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. To God be the glory. Starting at verse 1, Judges chapter 7, then Jerubbaal. That is Gideon. And all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites, into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 people returned and 10,000 remained. So there was how many people there? 32,000 warriors. 22 of them were afraid and went home. What was the Lord doing? He was eliminating those who were not like-minded. Does everybody understand that? But the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are still too many, bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. Now the Lord was testing them for Gideon. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by my side. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to the water, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other men go, every man to his place. So the Lord was eliminating those who were not like-minded. It only took 12 men to start a whole revolution. I mean, things got turned all the way around, didn't they? By 12 men. They went through all kinds of trials and stuff and whatever. But they became like-minded with the Lord, didn't they? And they turned over the whole world. 12 men, that's all it started. It doesn't take many to change many, to change, to rescue, to deliver, to heal, to express Christ's character, to express His love. Doesn't take many just to become like-minded. That's all it takes. as you become more and more like-minded, God will use you more. Is everybody with me? Hello?
Amen.
Praise God. Is everybody all right? Are you becoming like-minded or are you burning? Is the mind burning? Exodus 18. Oh, to God be the glory. Exodus 18. Verse 13. Would you read it with me? Exodus 18 and verse 13. And so it was on the next day that Moses said to the judge, sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they had difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and His will and His laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good." He was like, "What? The thing you're doing isn't good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourself out. For this thing is too much for you, and you are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen now to my voice. I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people, able men." What does he mean by here? Like-minded. "Such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge, so it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people also go to their place in peace." So Moses was grabbing individuals that were like-minded. Why? So he can place them in position, so that the burden was not on one person. It's not. Listen, one pastor can't do it. It's not up to the pastor's job to do all of it. That's why in offices people delegate. Owners of company, they delegate people. But before they begin to delegate people, they want them to learn. There must be some partial arena where there's a connection, where there's like-mindedness. Does everybody understand that? There's some partial arena where there's like-mindedness. And then there's that hope that the individuals will become more and more like-mindedness so they can release more and more to them. For much is given, much is required. If you're faithful with a little, you'll get more. Amen? So the whole purpose that God is trying to bring, even in the whole body of Christ right now, is to become like-minded. Amen? Go to Romans 8. Oh, hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. And verse 34. Romans 8:34. Somewhere around there anyways. Hallelujah. Romans 8:34. Read it with me. "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now I want to share something with you. What is Christ's or like-mindedness here? Intercession. Has everybody got it? One of the things that we and I become like-minded with Christ is to become an intercessor. Anyone who's like-minded with Christ is an intercessor of prayer. If you're not an individual that's praying, you're not like-minded. You will never become like-minded if you're not an individual that does not pray. It just won't work. It's just not going to go poof. Somebody's not going to wave their hand over you, and you're not going to become like-minded by getting hands laid on you. Amen? You must be an individual who prays, who intercedes. Intercession must be done every morning so that you become like-minded. Listen, it says that the Lord does intercession, doesn't He? Well, if you and I are not doing an intercession, then we're not being like-minded, are we? Is everybody with me? Intercession. Go to Hebrews 7. Oh, hallelujah. Pray. Intercession. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. That is a ministry to become like-minded. You know, everybody wants the ministry of casting out devils, miracle healing signs, ministries of self-exaltation. But the ministry of intercession is like-mindedness. Without the ministry of intercession, the other ministries will not fall into place. They can't. God will not use an individual who is not an intercessor. In 7:25. Therefore, He is also able to save the uttermost, those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make what? Intercession for them. Intercession. There are two ministries that are before the throne room of God. There's a ministry of intercession, and there's a ministry of accusation. You want to move out of the like-mindedness real quick? See, the devil uses believers to access the throne room of God with accusation. But it must be turned around till we become intercessors. Not accusers. Go to Revelation 12. Is everybody there? In verse 10, Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ has come. For the what? Accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night have been cast down. Let me tell you, believers are the ones that have access to the throne room of God. Satan does not. He's been removed from that. So the enemy will use believers to access the throne room of God with accusation. Criticism. Does everybody understand that? You want to lose sight and lose that and disqualify yourself to become like-minded? Then you get involved in that ministry of criticism, accusation. Let me share something with you. The ultimate manifestation of pride is criticism, because it assumes superiority. Let me repeat that. Criticism is the ultimate manifestation of pride because it assumes superiority. criticism, accusation is the ultimate manifestation of pride because it assumes superiority. Is everybody with me? That's a quick disqualifier. Grumbling and complaining is a quick disqualifier. Go to James 3. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus rebuked. He didn't criticize. He cleaned up. He was the fourth batter in a baseball game. He was a cleanup batter. He went and cleaned up. He didn't accuse. He just cleaned it up. He didn't criticize. He cleaned it up. He rebuked. He exposed. James chapter 3. Everybody there? Verse 13. James 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Willing to what? Yield. Full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality. And without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And I want to close at Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Verse 29. Yet the house of the body of Christ says, the way of the Lord is not fair. Oh, foolish flesh creatures. Oh, house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Verse 30. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a what? New heart. Now, what's the heart? It's the character of your spirit, right? And a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. Like-mindedness with Christ. There's much more that we can go into all of this. I mean, it could be continuous. And all the characters, and even the things that, even the examples of everybody's testimony in this Bible, which portrayed like-mindedness with Christ. And the trials they went through. Look at what Joseph did. Look at how much Joseph had to go through to become like-minded. Look at Job. Look at the stuff that they went through, and they stood, didn't they? Because they were like-minded. Well, if they did it without the Holy Ghost, you and I should be able to. Amen. Praise God. It is a desire and a command from God that you and I become like-minded, not only with Him, but with each other. The more you become like-minded, the more He can trust you. There are things that you know in your life that you're doing or that you should be doing. That is either portraying like-mindedness or anti-Christ-mindedness. Everybody in this room has an opportunity to search themselves. Is there manipulation? Lying? Selfishness? Greed? Whatever it may be. Anything that's not like-minded. God has given us opportunity to get rid of these things so we become like-minded. You'll never earn His trust in the degree that He's created us until you become like-minded. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your Word. And Lord, again, we take this opportunity and repent for not being like-minded. Even when You've exposed us and showed us in certain things in our life, Lord, that we're not like-minded according to You, we repent and we ask for Your forgiveness. Please, Lord, wash us with Your blood. Remove the Antichrist mind from us. That the Christ mind would be manifested. That we would not only be like-minded with You, but like-minded with each other. That the same purpose, will, and desires would be brought forth. Same ethics. That You would express Your character through us, and Your love and Your compassion. That You would express Your voice through us, and that others will know that we are like-minded with You, that You may be glorified. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.